Church here in Coyleton. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and today we are gathered to remember and give thanks to God for the life of Jim Mentor, our beloved brother in Christ, who was also a loving husband and father and grandfather, and a friend to so many in this community of Coyleton and beyond, and certainly a beloved member of this congregation as well. And we gather knowing that we are in the Easter season, that Jesus has conquered death. We mourn, but we don't mourn like those who have no hope. And we know that a greater day is coming for all of us, and we'll see Jim again. For our order of worship today, we'll follow the order printed for you in the green bulletin, and all of the words for the hymns will be found in the burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you. We begin by singing number 461, which is "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." We will sing stanza 1, and then we will jump over to 5, 6, 7, and 8. And the congregation may be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Jim was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised that by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And at this time, we will recite together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Jim and to all your servants, who having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading today comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from St. John's Revelation, chapter 7 and chapter 14. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write this, Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we will join together in speaking the words of the Apostles' Creed, the same creed which Jim confessed among us. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Congregation may be seated, and we will now turn to hymn 722, Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me. Thank you. thanks for his life, as well as to mourn its earthly end, especially to you, Kate, Jim's beloved wife and partner, to you, Jesse and Lisa. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 67 years, 9 months, and 14 days. That's what the obituary says. That's how long Jim got to live here among us on earth, and it just doesn't seem like enough, does it? Especially in a situation like this one, where we weren't expecting this to happen. You know, there was a time years ago when if somebody lived to be 67, then most people thought, well, hey, they lived a nice full life. But these days, modern medicine usually has us expecting a lot more. And we sort of trick ourselves into thinking that pretty much anything that can go wrong with our bodies can be fixed or healed or at least treated. But here we are this morning. We're looking at this casket where our dear brother Jim lies. And we're forced to recognize that humanity has its limitations. When our Lord is ready to call someone home to himself in heaven, there's really nothing that any of us can do to prevent that. We're not in control as much as we'd like to be, and that's hard. It's hard for us to accept it when God's will and when his plans are different from our own. But even in the midst of earthly sorrow, we still have so much that we can be thankful for today. For starters, it's Easter. It's Easter. Look, there's never a good time of year for something like this to happen. But all things considered, this is the season where we are surrounded with all these reminders that death has been defeated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has risen from the grave. Every alleluia, every lily that's up here on the altar, every Easter hymn that we get to sing brings that focus back to the hope that we have, the comforting fact that death does not have the final say in the lives of Christians, that Jesus is still alive. I know that my Redeemer lives. We just sang that. And he is reigning over heaven and earth. Which means that those who have faith in him, those who call upon his name, get to live forever too. That includes Jim. Physical death does not have the power to destroy the soul of a believer. We may never fully understand why it was God's plan to take Jim home to himself in such a sudden and shocking way. But what we do know for sure is that he's in heaven, that he's still alive and well, and he's eagerly awaiting for the rest of us to join him. And I say eagerly awaiting because one thing that we can say about Jim is that he loved being with people. He loved all the people that he knew here in this world, his family for sure. So many friends around here in this community. If any of you guys had a chance to look at all those pictures that are over there in the overflow room, and if you haven't looked at them, I think there is a plan to bring at least some of them over to the community building later. But there are just so many great moments, so many unique experiences that Jim had in his life. I mean, he really packed a lot of life into 67 years. There's pictures of him doing the things that he loved, hunting and fishing. There's a whole display of bowling. There's him operating heavy machinery. I mean, there's all these amazing things. There's several carnival cruises that you guys got to go on. And that's just to name a few of the many things that are over there. But one of the things I noticed last night is that a common thread through almost all of those displays is that as Jim was doing these things, he was not doing them all by himself. But he was constantly surrounded with the people that he loved. Kate, His smile is the biggest in those pictures when he has his loved ones at his side. And probably the one where he's got the really big fish that he caught. But you know, to me, what that shows me is that he was always so focused on other people. He wasn't really always focused on himself. And I know that's true because as I was getting ready for the funeral today, I went back into my phone and I was looking through all the various text messages that he had sent me over the years. And one of the things that I noticed is that they were always focused on the well-being of other people. Like, he was asking for prayers when Jesse, you were deployed last year. He was talking to me a lot a few years ago when Alma had all of her health issues, and he could tell me all these details about the things that were going on with her. And it was just always focused on others, the well-being of others. He had a really special relationship with his mom, by the way. Or I should say mother, because he called her mother. But, you know, I had heard some stories about how things were when he was a kid. I heard about how he would play outside and get all dirty and come in and sit down to eat dinner, but they had to check his neck to see how many rings of dirt were around his neck, and that told you how hard he had played that day. And then at that same table, that was where he got to clean the first deer that he had successfully hunted. He had a really special relationship with Alma. And I think that's one of the things that can lift our spirits right now, is that in the midst of all of this, one thing that we know is that he's been reunited with her. How much of a joy that must be for both of them. There's so many things. We could go on and on about all these things that we will miss and already miss about Jim. The way he always looked out for his neighbors. The way that he was so dedicated to the community club and the Hofbrau Fest. And the way that he would give funny nicknames to everybody. It seemed like he hardly ever called anybody by their real name. He had all these nicknames. He was a really unique guy. One of a kind. I can say with 100% confidence, I've officiated at a lot of funerals over the years, but this is the first time that there's been a handgun in the casket. You know, it's not normal, but it's Jim, right? It's Jim. You know what else is unique about him? And this might not be something that you think of right away, but actually, his confirmation verse. 1 John 5, verse 4. Off the top of my head, I can't think of another time when I prepared a funeral sermon and that was the individual's confirmation verse. And if you haven't read it yet, it's on the top of the first page of your bulletin today. It's a great verse. And it says this: everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. I love that verse because I love this talk of overcoming the world and how only by faith in Christ does a person overcome the world. And when we talk about overcoming the world, we talk about overcoming all the problems that we deal with in this world. And of course, for us right now, it's the problem of we're feeling the pain and loss of losing someone that we loved. But I think it takes on an even deeper meaning when we consider that verse in the life of Jim Mentor. Jim's passing means that he is no longer dealing with the problems of the world. It means that he's no longer feeling so many of the physical ailments that he was dealing with. He has overcome them in Christ. And that's such a blessing because for a while now he's had all these aches and pains. There have been some really tough days. The carpal tunnel surgery that he had just before the Lord called him home was just another thing in a series of difficult things that were making life hard. I remember the last conversation that I had with him when he was out there in the parking lot between the parsonage and the school, and he was helping cook the Wurstmark sausage, and we went out and talked to him before church that morning, and he was telling me about all these things that he had been dealing with, and none of it sounded fun to me. But you know what? He wasn't feeling sorry for himself. And now, all of that is over. dismiss him any less, but it does give us comfort to picture him up in heaven feeling infinitely better than he has for a long time. Just a moment ago, I read a passage from the book of Revelation, and I wanted to reread to you that last verse from Revelation 14, verse 13. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Now those words were originally written by St. John, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He saw this glorious vision of heaven where he sees the saints that are wearing the white robes and they are before the throne of God, and he sees the Lamb of God, Jesus, on his throne. And it's just absolutely amazing. But what's even more important than the things that John saw are the things that John heard. What does John hear? Blessed are the dead. What? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That sounds strange, doesn't it? That's not usually the first word that pops into our head when we see a casket like on a day like today. We don't usually think, wow, how blessed they are. But that's exactly the word that John hears the voice from heaven say. Why? Well, the answer is actually pretty simple. For those who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, death is not something to be feared. Death is not some hopeless devastation, because death is not the end of our story. And death is not the end of Jim's story either. What Jim knew and believed was that on the day he died, that would be the last day that he would ever feel physical pain. And now he is wearing the white robes. He has traded in the camo for white. Jim is blessed indeed, because he has died in the Lord. And there's more. Because Jesus has promised the rest of us that on the last day, he will raise us up from the dead. The whole creation will see Jesus in his glory, and every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. You're going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and Jim's going to be there too. And together we're going to live in that place which is better than any place that you could possibly imagine here on earth. So we do give thanks to God for 67 years and 9 months and 14 days. But we rejoice even more that because of Jesus in heaven, someday we're going to have a lot more time than that. Thanks be to God in his most holy and precious name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Jim Mentor and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead, in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Jim and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And our closing hymn is number 748, I'm But